In the collect of today's Mass, we pray, O Lord, grant us both to understand the teaching of St. Thomas Aquinas and to imitate him in carrying them out in our life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I wish you a blessed feast day of the Church's own theologian, the great angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas. For you assisting at the solemn Mass this morning may consider yourselves as dispensed from the Lenten fast. After Mass, we don't have our Vespers. Since it's not a fast day, we do them in the evening. And all of us are having a little welcome break today from the purple and from the penance for the feast day of this very great teacher and patron saint. Today, as it happens, St. Thomas's feast falls on the middle day of Lent, a traditional day of happiness and joy, not so much that our Lent is already half over, but that Easter now draws so very clear. Although we're taking a little break from our penance, I wouldn't want you to think, children, that we would take a little break from our patroness this Lent, St. Teresa. And I've been thinking about everything that St. Thomas and St. Teresa have in common, in addition to the TH sound for the beginning of their names. It's true they lived in different centuries, St. Thomas a long time ago in the 13th, and St. Teresa in modern times in the 19th century. It's true, too, that St. Thomas studied or taught in a school every day of his life almost, whereas St. Teresa only had about 5 years of formal schooling. In addition to that, she had her homeschooling, and before she went into the convent, she had a tutor that she'd go to see for classes in a certain lady's home. But she was an excellent student, and she made every class and every moment of every class count. So that when the time came for her to go into the convent, she had already learned quite a bit, was in good shape. One of the ways that people studied back then, children, and until modern times, Father Cicada and I would remember from our Catholic schooling that we were taught this same way, was that we were taught to memorize many, many things, and then to recite them by heart. St. Teresa did this. She memorized the Imitation of Christ, the great book of spiritual reading. In St. Thomas Aquinas, when he was kidnapped by his family, who didn't want him to become a Dominican, he used his time to memorize. Back then, they didn't have that many books, and they certainly didn't have the internet or anything, so it was so much easier if you had it all upstairs in your head. You just learned things by heart. The first day St. Teresa went into the convent, the Mother Superior asked her to come to her office and to recite for her a whole chapter of that book, The Imitation, which she could do very well. They looked different, of course. St. Teresa wasn't very tall, and she was very small, small-framed and slight, whereas Thomas Aquinas was a big-boned, great giant of a man with a big head, too, and his complexion and his hair were light, because he was descended from the peoples of the north of Europe. But even though he was a big fellow, he was very quiet. Like St. Teresa, both of them really only spoke unless they had something to say, some duty of charity, maybe, or something edifying or helpful to others. You all know perhaps the story about Thomas Aquinas, how he, because he was such a big fellow and he was so quiet in class, that he got himself the nickname the dumb ox, because he almost looked like an ox, he was so big. Well, one day some of the students at recess, thinking they would have some fun with him, called out, "Thomas, come quickly to the window, look. There's a cow with wings. It's flying right by." And St. Thomas went to the window, and he looked at it. And then everybody burst out laughing about how foolish he was to believe that. And he said, "I would rather believe that a friar would never tell a lie that would be easier for me to believe that than even to believe that a cow was flying right by the window. He always just told the truth. And in that sense, he was a good Dominican, wasn't he? Veritas, or the truth, that's the motto of the Dominican order. St. Teresa used to say, when she was in charge of souls, the novices or the training sisters, she would say, well, now don't come to see me unless you want to hear the truth. She always herself as well told the truth. St. Thomas wrote about the truth and taught it to us using the language of philosophy, and which would be very hard for most of us to even begin to understand about being in essence and matter and form and things like that. St. Teresa told the same truths, but in a very simple, kind of a down-home way. What do they have in common? They both realized their own nothingness. They were very humble. They both had a strong confidence in God, and they both depended on God. St. Teresa used to say, I'm no saint. I'm not even patient. If I manage to do anything good, it's because our Lord is working in me. She understood what St. Thomas wrote once, how humility is truth. And they both of them were united in their very great love for the truth. And then they simply said the truth, even if sometimes people didn't like it. That's a quality of truthfulness, children, which is called simplicity. You just say what's true. St. Thomas Aquinas didn't set out to start some sort of a new way of teaching philosophy or theology. All he did was to see things, to study them, to understand them the way God made them. And then he told others about it. He explained as best he could. In his explanations, he made use of the writings of a certain pagan Greek philosopher, the great, great Aristotle. Now, until that time, Aristotle's writings had been used mostly by Mohammedans or by Jews. And so the Catholics were scandalized, or so they said, that a Catholic priest would be using these kinds of writings to talk about the Catholic faith. Nevertheless, he did, and he was proved to be right. The same thing with St. Teresa. In her little way, she didn't set off to shock or scandalize anyone. She just read the lives of the saints. She read the Gospels and the epistles of St. Paul, and she dared to be just a simple, trustful, loving soul. That's why she liked Our Lady. That's why she loved Our Lady and St. Joseph so much. She understood that their lives were like our life. She understood that we could imitate our Lord and Our Lady, the Holy Family, just in the little and the ordinary things of daily life, whether it be helping in the laundry or not complaining or giving a smile to someone who needed it. The spirit of simplicity comes to mind for both of them at their mealtimes. St. Teresa, remember, the sisters in the kitchen used to give her the leftovers to eat, and she never noticed, and she never even complained. And for a long time at table, the other sister next to her drank all the apple cider every day, but she never minded and never said a word. The same thing with St. Thomas. He was so busy with deep, profound thoughts, he never even noticed the food in front of him. They would say, you could take that food away, and St. Thomas wouldn't even notice it either. That same quiet was carried out too, and this is a good lesson for all of you who are students, at the time of his studies, when he was in school. He was very quiet, so quiet that the others, as I say, didn't think he was very bright, and one of them offered to help him after class, to be his tutor, to work with him a little bit, which is a very kind thing, and sometimes older students help other students to understand their lesson. Well, St. Thomas was very humble, and he accepted the help, and then one day, the student couldn't figure out what the lesson was himself, and so St. Thomas helped him. And then from then on, they reversed the roles. And now it was St. Thomas who was doing the helping. But he waited until the the opportunity presented itself, he didn't complain or say, well, I'm smarter than you, you should listen to me. Oh, no. You see, that was his humility, and that was his simplicity. They both were very, very hard workers, and they worked right until death. St. Teresa got very tired when she had to write her life's story, when she was sick already, but she continued to work on it every day because that was her job. And in holy obedience, she carried it out. St. Thomas, the same thing. He was staying with some Cistercian monks when he got very sick and he knew he would die. And the monk said, oh, St. Thomas, they said to him, please give us just one more lesson. Explain to us this one book of the Bible, the Canticle of Canticles, that the monks loved very much. And so he did. Even though he was very tired and he was dying, he carried that out. These saints worked until the very end. I suppose that the one thing you could say that these two saints did not have in common was their handwriting. St. Teresa had a beautiful hand, whereas nobody could read the handwriting of St. Thomas Aquinas. That could be a comfort to those of us who have a little bit challenged in the handwriting department. But actually, St. Thomas couldn't be interpreted by others because he used a shorthand. He figured out a series of abbreviations because he did so much writing, he wanted to write as efficiently as possible. And that's really the spirit, too, of St. Thomas. Last of all, let's look at their great love for Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. In this sense, they were both imitating Jesus in the Sacred Host. That is to say, what is the Blessed Sacrament, children? To our eyes, it looks like the most common, ordinary, simple, and humble food of daily life. Bread, a wafer of bread. And yet, it is not. That which makes it to be bread, St. Thomas teaches, transubstantiation, ceases to be. And it becomes instead the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as St. Teresa teaches, following St. Thomas, our Lord is in the Sacred Host, not first of all so that we could adore him or visit him, but first of all so that he could feed us with his body and his blood to make us strong. And in that sense, St. Teresa wanted so much to receive Holy Communion just as often as she could. For both of them, it was really the very center and the very heart of their whole life. Once, St. Thomas took a manuscript of his, one of the many, many books. He wrote dozens of books to fill many, many volumes in a library. Well, he took his latest book to the altar, and he laid it on the altar, and he presented it to our Lord, just as you and I may do each day at Mass. Children, we can offer up our work, our little achievements, our sacrifices, our everything to our Lord. Well, he laid it on the altar, and our Lord, from the crucifix, came down a little bit to St. Thomas, and he said to him, thou hast written well of me, Thomas. What wouldst thou have? And St. Thomas's answer was so beautiful. He said, nil nisi te, Domine. Nil nisi te. Nothing, O Lord, except for thee. Nothing except for thee. And that was indeed the reward that was given to him. Last of all, they have this in common. The Blessed Sacrament brought out some of their most beautiful poetry. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote the beautiful poetry that we still use when we have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, and when we have the great feast day of Corpus Christi, when we have the 40 hours, we sing the Pange Lingua or the Lauda Sion. St. Teresa wrote about the Blessed Sacrament, and they both of them wrote their poetry because someone asked them to, and they did it out of charity, to be kind, and they did it out of obedience. It was the Pope himself that asked St. Thomas to write these beautiful hymns for us to use to honor the Blessed Sacrament at Mass, at office, and at our processions. And for St. Teresa, she wrote her poetry because some other sister was always asking her to. And these were saints who never wanted to say no. They were very busy, but they always had time to please others and to carry out holy obedience. How do you think that you and I are already like St. Teresa, and St. Thomas. Well, you may never have thought of this, children, but if you grow up to be a good Catholic and you come to benediction regularly, you, without realizing it, without ever studying and trying very hard, you will know by heart, you'll memorize your O Salutaris and your Tantum Ergo. Those are two of the best parts, little snippets of two of these great hymns of poetry that St. Thomas wrote. Mostly for us, if we hear the music, we know the words. We've learned them by heart. And isn't that a wonderful thing that all of us in the Catholic Church, down throughout the centuries, even though we're not very much for poetry, even though we maybe haven't memorized anything since we were school children, we all know these two beautiful, beautiful hymns by heart. And if you don't, well, be like St. Thomas, be like St. Teresa. Come to benediction of the Blessed Sacrament a little more often. That way, you'll have the best of all reminders of all of the great doctrine of Saint Thomas Aquinas and of all the sweet little way of St. Teresa, all summed up for you in the beautiful host, in the monstrance of the altar. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.